You're listening to Mix Comic Podcast.
Your host, Mick.
Welcome to another episode of Mix Comic Cast. I'm glad that you're joining me again. I know it's been a long time. And tonight, we'll be talking about Flashpoint Superman. And I've got a new friend with me. Y'all have heard Redbeard before. Here's another one of our buddies, a good friend named Ash. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on? I'm sorry. Very stuffy, but I'm here.
Yeah, he's a stuffy individual.
Very stuffy. Stuff shirt.
But, yeah, we've been friends for many years now, and he's been out of town away, but now he's back the last few months to stay, I think, right?
Oh, should be, yeah.
Should be.
Maybe, yeah, you never know, but yeah.
But, so, yeah, we're talking about Flashpoint and Superman tonight, and before he gets into it too much, we kind of read this alongside each other, and we're talking about it a lot when it was happening back in 2011.
Which this is really my favorite Superman. This might be what got me actually liking Superman instead of just accepting him as an inevitable thing.
No. You liked All-Star Superman.
That okay, you're right. Everybody likes All-Star Superman, though. That's kind of unfair. Like, if you don't like All-Star Superman, you have no heart. I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, there's plenty of people that don't like it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's...
Well, there's people that don't like everything, I guess. But
yeah, it's true. But that makes me sad. Like, All-Star Superman hit me. You know, like, there's a lot of literal heart and soul in that one. But yeah. I digress. I'll get away from, you know, All-Star. But yeah, this made me really find Superman exciting.
So you're not a... You know, you didn't grow up a Superman fan.
No.
You didn't really like him, but who did you like growing up?
Wolverine. Let's see, Wolverine, a little bit of Batman, some Wolverine, some Spider-Man maybe, and then some more Wolverine. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was never a big fan of the ultimate superheroes. I didn't like the ultimate power. I liked the smaller, you know, shorter superheroes.
So I gotcha.
Yeah. No. I mean, I like the superheroes who weren't omniscient and weren't omnipotent and weren't all powerful. You know.
Right.
I'm not trying to knock Superman. I'm just saying that I felt he cheated a little bit.
And yeah, you did then, but you can see where he's, you know, got some good storytelling.
No, and I can
now.
See the I can see the draw to it after seeing All-Star. Obviously, kind of is what sucked me into Superman a little bit. These stories really kind of made me feel sorry for Superman as a whole. And mm-hmm. I think they play into what he is in the, what you would call, I mean, I know it's, what is the Prime Superverse? I don't want to say Superboy Prime because I know he's a bad guy.
It changes. You know, we've got 1986, the Byrne. Post-crisis era Superman was the Superman for quite a while, and then we had New 52 in 2011, and now we're getting this rebirth going back to a post-crisis, I guess. I'm not sure if they're ever going to stick to one guy for more than a few years anymore, unfortunately. But I'm not sure who the main guy is going to be right now.
Yeah, but I feel like these Flashpoint tales... They showed what Superman could have been, and that makes him feel more human to me. Like, I feel it made him feel more vulnerable. Like, mm-hmm. He's dependent upon his upbringing somewhat, because, well, I mean, they just obviously show how he could have turned out differently.
Right.
You know, and man, gotta love it.
Okay,
and
before we get too far into it.
Yeah, go.
Let's see, Ash and I, we read a lot of other comics together and talk about them, so I'll probably want to have him back on here for some more quick mix, maybe Old Man Logan.
Oh, Are you sure it's going to be a quick mick or not an ash mick? Or an ash quick or a quick ash?
Oh, I don't know. I want to talk
I'm
about
just
it, though.
I truly feel like that should be my conversation that I invite you into. But
yeah, if you get a podcast, I'll come on to it. We'll talk
I'll
about
figure
it.
Something out, maybe. Maybe someday I'll join the...
But I definitely want to have a quick... well, I say quick mick. It's just a little... gimmick names so that we can have something.
No.
So that we can have a quick conversation on something. It doesn't have to be too formal. Like also, Star Wars is killing it right now.
Oh God, I love Vader.
Dead is interesting again.
Oh, well, again, but yeah, it's more interesting again.
Yep, it lost me there somewhere, and I don't know where, but I'm actually looking forward to it again.
I'm sad for that, but I'm glad you're back in.
Yep, and I guess so we can round our way back to this. We talked about Flashpoint Superman last time, which is this Superman, but I talked about him in Flashpoint, that storyline, without spoiling too much of the other Flashpoint stuff. And I like the story behind Flashpoint, and I'll probably come back to it at some point, as far as the Flashpoint Superman, that is. And it'll all make much more sense when I get back to covering Convergent Superman, Lois and Clark, which features Flashpoint Superman, maybe?
I really loved Convergent Superman. I did not love Convergence, but
that is the new Superman.
All the Superman stuff.
Yeah,
all of it.
Convergent Superman, Lois and Clark, where he had the baby. That's going to be the new Superman after Rebirth.
Which is awesome. I mean, you can't beat the beard, so.
Yeah. And, well, I'm not promising that will be next at this point. That was my plans back when I recorded the Flashpoint one, was to record that. Record this, then record Convergence, Lois and Clark, and then move on to the Lois and Clark miniseries, which is turning into, you know, the main thing in Action Comics. But I really just want to be free to be able to come back and talk Old Man Logan in the next episode if we want to do that. I want to be more fluid.
Snicket, snicket.
Definitely. But one thing I haven't done before, listeners that have been listening or would know that I haven't written my own synopsis. I've grabbed them off of wikias, but for this, I felt like I should do a quick synopsis being 5 years old. Some people may not have read it, and Clay or Ash here definitely hasn't read it in a while, so I figured I'll bring him up to speed. And I was just going to do like a quick paragraph of this happened, this happened, this happened. Let's talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. But as I began to write it, I really got sucked into the freaking story. So I wrote what is almost a proper synopsis, and it's pretty long. So I'm going to go through it here, Ash, and if you want to stop me and whatever, we can. But if not, I can run through it, and then we can talk.
Go through it. I remember a lot of it now that I'm thinking about it, but I want to hear the nitty-gritty, the details. If you
okay,
want.
Okay. Yeah. So, Flashpoint, Project Superman, takes place in the Flashpoint universe. There's a war of global proportions between Wonder Woman and the Themyscarians. Not sure if I'm saying that right. And Aquaman's Atlanteans. I really wanted to have Redbeard here because I knew he was going to make some kind of awful joke about Aquaman right there.
No.
Right now, he's laughing.
Aquaman from Flashpoint is so awesome.
He's
bad, yeah.
And in this reality, Superman landed in Metropolis in the midst of a large meteor strike that killed many people. By many, I don't remember. I think I remember seeing something like millions, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, it was enough to make him a catastrophe.
But before all that, and 30 years before the current Flashpoint story, is the story of Lieutenant Sinclair, a volunteer who became... And in my notes, I write this in all caps, who became, oh crap, Scott Snyder wrote this. I got to this page doing this, and Scott Snyder wrote this story. 5 years ago, I was beginning to get back into comics. I didn't know who Scott Snyder was. I've been loving his current Batman run.
This is what got me and you into reading comics together, isn't it? It was Flashpoint, wasn't it?
Yeah, I picked up with like Action 899, 900, and was reading it, and then all of a sudden, like the week after I started picking up comics, they said something about the Flashpoint event was coming.
This is what started our whole Hulk versus Superman debate, I think.
Right, probably.
Yeah. I really believe that, but I mean, go on. I don't want to devolve into that, but.
So, yeah, Scott Snyder, that blows my mind. Anyway, so I guess I should mention the rest of the credits here. Let me go ahead and open this up. Because normally the people that know how to do good comic podcasts, they mention all this stuff without even thinking about it.
Mick becomes long Mick.
So plot, Scott Snyder and Lowell Francis. Script, Lowell Francis. Art, Gene Ha. And Ha because everybody on the cover, on all of them, looks like they're saying, Ha! Art, Lion on color. Rob Lee, letters. Gene Ha on all the covers. Rex Ogle and Eddie Berganza, editors. And Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Okay, so Sinclair is reporting to General Lane, Sam Lane, Lois's father, in a secret base to become, quote, an effective deterrent and public face against metahumans. Sinclair becomes Subject One, and he's pumped full of the creature Doomsday's powers, who, as of this story, was recently in Booster Gold, which I loved whenever he showed up into Booster Gold as he was time-traveling. And, you know, Booster Gold just got wrecked in the Death and Return of Superman.
Yeah.
So when he saw him show up, he was just like, what am I going to do? But, man, I read a lot of comics that year. Anyways, they do some testing on him, and they keep pumping him with Doomsday's power, and they just keep testing him, seeing what he can take. And eventually they take him on a mission, but not only does he eliminate the targets with extreme prejudice, he wastes his support team as well. So General Lane locks him up. And a little bit after this comes a meteor strike. Many of these meteors just wrecking Metropolis, and it shows the Daily Planet being destroyed. In part 2 of 3, Cal lands, of course, and we first see him outside being a baby on like a crystal metal rocket. And then the next thing we see is him as a boy being experimented on, and it's horrific looking. And General Lane insists on calling him Cal, and we see that he's become attached to this alien while he's lost his attachment for the human he brought in himself. And this human is someone he would have chosen out of the candidates if he could have, he mentions in the previous issue. And while General Lane is treating Cal like a son, people keep telling him he's Subject One. But anyways, Lionel Luthor makes an appearance with Kid Lex, and they show Lionel Crypto, who all of a sudden becomes like mind-controlled by Sinclair, and he breaks free and bites a guard's arm off. Lionel, to protect himself, shoves Lex, I'm guessing to his death, in front of the dog, who then pretty much eats Lex. Crypto is killed while Cal watches, and he's killed by like a kryptonite gun blast. Yeah. Cal watches and he cries out. And all this time, Sinclair has also been communicating with Cal, kind of telling him how to act. But sometime later, Lois breaks in, which we're told is again, according to some exposition. And this time, it's to tell her dad happy birthday and give him a gift. Cal is told by Sinclair that it's time to help him break out. And once he does help Sinclair break out, Sinclair goes straight super sociopath killer man, just killing everything instead of trying to escape. And he's just a giant at this point. He's been growing.
I mean, he barely looks human from what I remember. He's got a almost translucent look to him.
He looks crazy, that's for sure.
He looks more energy than physical.
Right. Well, he does want to help Cal get out of here, though, but he wants to kill everybody else. In the melee, Cal escapes to Lane's office, where Lois is alone, waiting for her dad, who's left to deal with the situation. She introduces herself and asks who he is when Sinclair Kool-Aid mans his way into the room, and he goes to kill Lois, but Cal guards her with his body. Sinclair thanks the boy for setting him free, but he mentions he had forgotten who Cal really was, and he's about to kill him when General Lane comes around the corner with some weird solar energy weapon strapped to his body and says, "Step away from my children, Zero." Lane sends Sinclair to the Phantom Zone, where he is either there himself as well, which it turns out he is, but there's ashes on the ground, so you kind of think Lane's dead, but he's in the Phantom Zone with Sinclair. And the end of book two shows Cal back in the see-through prison chamber with a new general in charge when he uses his heat vision to carve out a Lois Lane image in the glass or wall. It just looks like a little scratch of heat in there. And yeah, I'm going to talk about that in a minute here. But, and then part three, this is much, it's a pretty quick little ending to part three, but it's the part where after the flashpoint stuff that I covered last episode, whenever he leaves the heroes that save him, and you're like, what a, you know, coward, who is this guy? Well, we see what happens after this. We learn where he went, which is New Themyscira, which I believe was in England, and specifically he's in London to catch up with Lois. They chat for a bit. Meanwhile, during this rescue attempt, like the rescue attempt where they freed Cal, something happened, which, you know, something comics happens and frees Sinclair from the Phantom Zone. And he doesn't even give Lane a chance to speak some final words before he kills him with a scrunch sound effect. He then absorbs more energy from Subject 6, a.k.a. Doomsday, and, quote, tears gravity itself, which was, I guess, a euphemism that could otherwise be described as flying. So he tore gravity itself. I thought that was pretty funny. He sees the globe from the east coast of the U.S. He sees across the globe from the east coast of the U.S. to London, where Cal is, and Sinclair is bent on being the only Superman and destroying all other metahumans. Cal is bent on escaping danger himself, and he's depicted as a coward in all situations until it comes to Lois. Sinclair arrives, and the fight ensues. As they fight, Sinclair loses control of the energy that he's, you know, filled with, and begins to evolve, looking more and more like Doomsday in the face. Finally, the fight ends as Clark gives some good Superman-esque quips before he punches a hole in Sinclair, as Lois also fires some kind of energy weapon at him. This but dooms him to death. But as Cal sits victorious, he sees that Lois is mortally injured. She tells him to help save these people, not because of her, but because it's the right thing to do. She dies in his arms, and he knows that today he must be a Superman.
Yep, I've got that picture right here. Such a good flick. Mm-hmm. Such a good pick, really.
Sorry, getting some water there.
No, it's fine.
Not sure if you
can. I'd almost forgotten that part. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I'd forgotten so much of what made this good.
I mean, this is...
Let's see. Okay. So, and then when I do my quick mix, when I do my coverage, I always have a G-Bug, good, bad, ugly, and great.
Yeah.
I play some Red Dead Redemption music in there.
Name's John Marston.
Mm-hmm. So, starting with the good, I'm going to throw the covers in there. The covers are all pretty good. I made a joke about something about Gene Ha. Every one of his covers, he's got the guy's mouths are open like, and they're looking at each other like that. I think he might have done the Marvel versus X-Men covers, because they all have their mouths open in exactly the same pose, but that might just be a common
pose. You know, I really did love Marvel versus X-Men. That was a really good
one. Yeah, I thought it was all right. It wasn't like anything really memorable to me, but I enjoyed it. But so, yeah, the covers are good. The first one shows like Metropolis being destroyed by meteors and a giant Subject Zero behind them just screaming as Superman's rocket falls down. The second one's just the most sad one, which is Subject One, Cal beating on a glass
thing,
and he's just like, hey, let me out.
See, you know, I feel so bad for Subject One, but Subject Zero really made me sad too. He was just kind of that sad story of they gave somebody a little too much power.
Yeah.
Too fast.
They did. And
you can hardly blame him. He was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to be a better person, be a hero, and he just kind of, you know, lost control.
Okay, so on this good section. Okay. They showed him slowly kind of becoming evil because he could see and hear what everyone else was saying about him in the whole place.
See, I don't really think he was going evil so much. He was just losing control. I hate to call that evil. He was just he became a force of nature. I mean, you can't really call a tornado evil. You know, I feel he became more of a
tornado entity. Doesn't choose its path, though.
Well, it's true, but I feel he couldn't choose not to destroy. I always felt bad for him because I felt he was given so much so fast. He just became something. He literally made me feel sad. I mean, I know I'm supposed to feel bad for Civ 1, but I really felt bad for Civ 0 because he went in trying to do better.
Well, he took a mantra of losing attachment to things, which is what he's talked about as he's in his human form at the very beginning, and then becomes obsessed with it to the point of becoming, I guess, deranged. Is that politically correct? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember feeling bad for him. Like, I can see where that draw was, and I can see, and I'm not trying to have sympathy for the devil here. I feel he got such a powerful. I feel he got so much power. It was hard for him to see anyone else as anything but something in his way.
And that's the perfect juxtaposition to Superman, who also has that much power.
He does. He does. And like, and Superman was raised young with
also
it.
Also, important. Well, hold on a second.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
This story though is about him not being raised with that.
You're right. You're right. He didn't get it until later. I mean, he got it. He started with it, but he didn't realize it until later, I guess.
But he experienced the same things that Subject Zero experienced.
This is true. And from what I remember from the, not Flashpoint, but from Convergence, he kind of went almost. Sorry. I will just say there's some. I'll just shut up. Bottom line, Superman obviously is better than anyone else, but I felt bad for Civic Zero because I felt it would be hard to judge him based on what was done to him.
No, you know? I felt bad for him the first time I read it. This time, I didn't have much sympathy for him at all because, I mean, he chose to do this and things just. And he did, okay, he didn't, maybe he didn't go evil, but he had some kind of breaks in there. He broke for sure.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know,
and he had evil motivations.
Well, obviously he had evil motivations, human motivations, you know, like people treat all kinds of things that would be considered less than them in that sense. And he just unfortunately got really, really powerful, really, really fast, which would make it hard for him to.
That's like saying a kid gets in your way at the store and they're puny and little, and you have a force of nature compared to them, you'll rip their arms off.
Well, no, I think it's more along the lines of like a squirrel ran in front of your car and you try to brake, but if you don't brake fast enough, you don't really feel bad. I think that's more where he was at. You know, I don't think it was more of a kid in the store. I think it was more like he got to a point where, yeah, he didn't want to run the squirrel over, but the squirrel ran in front of him, so what's he going to do? You know, I think he was on a whole different level. And I think it happened so fast he just couldn't comprehend it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, my defense of him. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened. I'm just saying it's my defense of him.
But we're getting too caught up in whether evil as something would be considered evil. But yeah, anyways, bad. Oh, yeah. He did bad stuff.
He's a bad guy.
So, some more good. I loved General Lane, who began to see Cal as almost his son.
Oh, I loved that a lot. And mm-hmm. I loved the alternate take on Lois being like almost, you know, entwined with Superman. Like, even though she's a different Lois, she obviously apparently has a link to Superman. It kind of made him gave him that human, you know.
Yeah.
It was a little fairy tale-ish, but I liked it.
There's a scene in part one where it shows General Lane the first time he gets a little bit wary of Sinclair. Sinclair goes from being in the light in one frame to being in complete shadow in the very next one.
Ah.
And I love, like, he's in shadow after he realizes that Lane kind of backed off from him and was scared or saw that he wasn't exactly human anymore. And I love it when I can, if if I can pick that stuff out in something, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I didn't notice in Star Wars in a certain scene when Kylo Ren went from light to shaded, and then, you know, he decided to make it a dark choice. I didn't notice that until somebody else mentioned it. The next time I watched it, I was like, wow, that makes the scene so good.
Now I've got to go back and read all this. You know that, right?
That's fine. That's good.
You're gonna have to bring these into work or something. This is going to kill me.
The X-ray scenes. I sent you a couple of those pictures. X-ray scenes were just amazing, where he was showing him look through and he was seeing skeletal people all over the place. And the framing all over all the different things was really good.
Well, I like that too, because it showed that he doesn't really see people as people. He just saw them as a being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I felt sorry for him. It's like, I really don't think he was looking at them human anymore. He was looking at them as a animal. You know, he was really like, they were all the same. It wasn't necessarily he was bad. He just, I kind of felt he had almost, like, it's almost that evil of becoming too smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he learned so much, it was hard for him to see individuals as important.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's good. History's not filled with, there's been evil people, but it's not always cut and dry, good versus evil.
Yeah.
So,
like Napoleon, I don't feel like Napoleon was like trying to enslave people so much as we look at it in our own political views now. We see all these political candidates who we're scared are, they don't look at us as individuals. They look at us as things that need to be told the right way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fear a lot of people have, you know, Democrats and Republicans alike. And I feel that's what Sinclair represented. He wasn't so much bad as he just thought he was right. You know?
Yeah.
I really, 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 really felt bad. And I feel like Superman's the little guy in this story, like, who has all this power but is afraid to use it. You know, like, hey, it was a good story. Like, I really felt DC tapped some of their best potential here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit about the whole political ramifications of this. I know I could go too deep with that. But I thought really there was so much to tell here. Like, I almost wish they would just be like, all right, screw it. We're going to do a Flashpoint series. Like, the next 2 to 3 years, it's all going to be that universe. You know?
Right. Yeah,
I would buy almost every comic they had.
Yeah, we always go back to Flashpoint Batman because he was so cool.
Oh, God. No, I'm completely ignoring Flashpoint Batman. I would literally buy just Flashpoint Superman if they would go that route. just to see where that goes. It's such a different yet true take on Superman, you know?
I like it.
Oh, I love it. It's still, to this day, like you tell me it's 5 years ago, I'm like, wasn't that like last month? Because to me, there's so much Superman in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to tell there.
I really liked the Lionel Luthor thing. I had to look him up, and because I thought he was.
Oh yeah, with him pushing Lex in front of the dog. I just was looking at that
Lionel
picture.
Being in it, being named, because I only know Lionel Luthor from Smallville. It turns out he's got a very few what I could find references in old comics. Where when I went and read the synopsis of those comics, like his first appearance, he's not even included in the synopsis of.
is he that bad in Smallville?
He's really, really interesting in Smallville.
Because all I know of him really is that scene where he says, "Lex, I need you to stand very, very still," and then he, of course, pushes him in front of the deranged Crypto.
Right. No, he's not. That's all I've ever seen of him. That evil in Smallville.
Because I mean, that's dark. That was very, very dark.
But he's not a good guy. He's complex. Huh. And he's interesting. And there's a good actor that plays him too. Just plays him very well.
Hmm. I would not mind seeing more of that. Just because, I mean, he seems good. Not good, but.
Oh, Smallville season, I mean, the first few seasons are outstanding.
Someday. You're not going
to get the rest of the seasons to me were mediocre, and then with some highlights in the middle, you know, and points. And then season 10 was great again to me.
Was it the last season?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe someday, man.
Yeah.
Maybe when we're like 50 and like watching 10 seasons would only take me like what would be the equivalent of like a week in this life right now. Maybe then I'll go back. I mean, not a knock.
My brother went back and watched all of Smallville like the last couple months he was in Jordan recently.
Well, he was in Jordan. He probably had some downtime.
He did.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just not yet. Soon.
So, this is in the good section, but it is bad. Cal being experimented on. This was all of the horrible things that Ma and Pa Kent were worried about happening if their child was found by the government. And this is us, having to see that. And it was, when I read it the first time, it was really sad.
See, I was the opposite. I liked it because I wanted to see him tested. Like, I liked seeing him tested.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to know what could that ultimate power really become if it had not had Ma and Pa Kent. Because I feel like that's instrumental to Superman being who he is.
Right.
Like, without Ma and Pa Kent, I feel like Superman would be all the things people think the movie version of Superman right now is. Like, a killer and, like, dark and, like oh, he killed Zod. You know, like, no, I feel like you can't give something that kind of power without testing it. And I loved how this, they literally kind of tested him and he seemed to have come out all right. At the very least, he ran away from violence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that was looked upon as cowardice, but
I'll round back to this, but I don't consider the Man of Steel Superman a killer. I think he killed out of necessity, but
no, I agree.
Not a killer, not a dark. I don't consider him dark either.
I'm not knocking that situation. I feel that was the only choice he had at that moment.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. We'll get back. I've got a point.
Different podcast some of the time.
No, we'll get back to it later in this one, actually.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, go on. Go. Let's follow your trail here. I'm looking for it.
Okay. It'll be. We're still in good. It's not for a couple more sections.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to follow your, you know.
I gotcha. Okay. So, I loved little Lex here, this little red hair.
Oh, God. And sorry, the only memory I have is him being pushed in front of Crypto, and God, I'm sorry.
Well, there's a point when he's picking up, like, some stuff that's in this, you know, lab, and Lionel says, you know, put that down, something like that, and then he says, Lex likes to pick up little toys and see if he can use them on Daddy while he sleeps. I love that, but I could also see a little kid, Jesse Eisenberg, with his hair in this rendition of him.
Fair enough. God, there you go, making me like that Lex a little bit more.
All right, so, yeah, we get like four frames of him before he's chewed up.
I know, it's just so bad.
This is a very violent, violent series.
I think that's why I like
I've never
it.
Seen
it's
Superman
very...
more... in a more violent series, which is so much... I mean, there's scenes with people's eyeballs and getting half their face chopped off on panel.
I just have that much power and not have that much violence. It's difficult to imagine.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's what the story is supposed to be telling us.
I mean, like, it's such an utter amount of power. It's like trying to imagine America winning all the things we've won without all the dark stories are behind all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We love to be like, America, World War II, we won, and like, that'd be the end of it, but like, there's such horror behind it. And I feel Superman needs some of that sometimes.
No. Yeah. No.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's cool if he doesn't. I mean, I'm fine to hear. It's hard to imagine something with that much power doing that much change without there being some consequence that's dark.
I think, I mean, that's what makes him what so appealing to so many fans is that he can be light and he didn't have to be all that dark and, hurting. I mean, he's got the power to do these things, but he's not just because they're in his way and because he wants to be the only Superman, you know, and he, I mean, he could, but he doesn't. Like, and there's a scene where Lois, where he rescues Lois from the Themyscirians. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah,
but he barges in kind of like the very beginning of Batman v Superman and just breaks a wall down and like doesn't kill them or anything, just rescues Lois.
That's awesome. I just feel like in this one he didn't make as much of a difference as Superman usually makes.
No, because this was Flash's story.
It was. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Ugh.
I didn't like his final appearance in the Flashpoint story. I mean, it was pretty cool until then. It just kind of went a different direction.
Well, he did run away because honestly, I feel like in
no,
this
he
story,
didn't run away at the very.
Well, no, you're right. He didn't run away, but I feel like had he taken as forefront of a position as we wanted him to, it would have turned violent real fast. And maybe you're right. Maybe Superman just isn't that kind of violent. Maybe in this scenario, Superman's reaction would have been to just leave.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that makes him bad or weak. I'm just saying, like, in a perfect Superman world, he would have figured out a way to save everybody without making it too bad.
It would.
Maybe this Flashpoint scenario was so bad, his reaction would have had to be... Maybe he didn't like the... You know what I mean? It's kind of like... You always see that picture of like the little kid turning on a abusive bully or parent or something like that, and he does something that makes him cry. Mm-hmm. Like he lashes out, and in the end the kid lashes out so strongly that his own reaction makes him cry because he doesn't like what he did.
Ralphie. Poor Ralphie.
Yeah, Ralphie, yeah, exactly. I feel like maybe in this scenario Superman would have lashed out so hard that he would not have liked what he did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe that's what that really was telling us, is that, like, that was just too bad of a scenario, and then only the Flash could save us by turning back time and making it not happen, you know?
So it's not exactly what happened, but we're not going to talk about it.
No, we're not going to talk about it. But in the long run, that's what happened.
So.
The Flash saved a day, all right? And how's the Flash save a day? He turns back time.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. It's just, it's different. Yeah, I won't. I'll stop before I go and spoil. Like
we can do a spoiler section at the end if you want to.
Yeah, because I will.
You just have to talk about it.
I'll spoil the next 10 years of comics if I go on my theory here. But
okay. I love Lois breaking into this super secure place, and I always love that she's always so sneaky and clever. And even as a child, she's showing those characteristics.
You know, I didn't like Lois as a character that much until I read this comic either.
Man. Well, see, you didn't have a lot of exposure to before we kind of hung out. And
no, I had, what was it, Margot Robbie? Who's Lois?
Yeah.
That was my Lois, and not very cool.
No, and I think that's the general consensus from what I listen to the people. I didn't know one way or care one way or the other. I just thought that was just... the way it was, but looking back at it, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that was pretty much my Lois, and it's not a very good Lois, really.
No.
I mean, in all honesty, she's just annoying, and she's just kind of there to solve a problem.
Yeah, it's
Is Superman, you know, a man.
Oh, no.
I don't mean it like that, but seriously.
No, it wasn't. But that was it. I mean,
it wasn't to make him like. Basically, they made him like, let's give him a girlfriend, Lois Lane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even feel
Lois
like.
Lois in the comics is awesome.
No, yeah. After all this, I liked Lois a lot more, except I have not liked New 52 Lois. But I don't think we're supposed to.
You know. That's. It's just been, I think, maybe their willful wanting to not put them together, which has angered so many fans, has made it seem strange. I don't know. It's really weird. I can't think about much really that she's done in the New 52 that's been compelling or interesting. But
well, I mean, she did do that
Lois,
one thing.
After about 20 months in, it starts to pick up, and she's about awesome. So,
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. You should definitely finish up 50 and 51, but I haven't liked Lois at all lately.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, I want to go back and read them all and be like, do I hate her unnecessarily, or is that, you know, I don't know.
Right.
This is really hard to not talk about spoilers for something that's this old.
So, Cal does the heat vision of the Lois in the chamber, and that messed me up. Okay, I was in my bed reading that.
Oh, wait. I got to go back and find that.
I was in my bed. I didn't include one of the frames when I sent you the picture, which him just sitting there, like, thinking, like, sad. But I was, this is sad, but I was close to tears reading this the first time I read it. And it's, like I said, it's early on my return to comics, and I, only one other scene had made me close to tears like this had made me, and it was a certain thing right at the end of Birthright that was so emotionally just a gut punch, but in a good way, like happy tears in Birthright, but sad tears in this one.
What
you know, like Negan says, man tears.
You mean pee pants?
The saddest thing. No, when he says the saddest thing is man tears.
Oh my god, I gotta go find that. I don't remember which comic that was. I mean, I remember which comic, but I don't remember which, you know.
Yeah, great big man tears.
Oh, dang it, you always do this.
Okay, so fighting Superman in issue 3, when they're fighting, I'm saying fighting Superman. He has a good Action Comics 1 cover reference with Cal slamming the car down into Sinclair. I thought that was really cool. I sent you that picture.
Oh, hold on. Let's see here.
But if you
so much you sent me.
Probably
man.
Remember. I wanted to have you some pictures so you could kind of refresh your memory.
You were right. When you told me to basically just let you refresh my memory, it's hurting because I'm... Oh. I really wish I'd had time to read over this with you.
Well, I didn't want you to go out and rebuy it since I've got it sitting right here.
I would have, man. Good lord.
That and I was hyped to record. I haven't recorded in so long. I've been wanting to get this out so I can, because I promised this would be the next thing, and now I can just start talking about other stuff. But anyways.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Man. I gotta tell you that you're bringing up so many memories. This is like the golden age of comics for me right here.
It's kind of that way for me. I was reading a lot of comics that summer, and when the New 52 came out, I may have had 10 or more number ones that I went on to buy number twos.
This is making me really, really want to go to a comic store with you. me, you, and Redbeard need to go soon.
Yeah.
I won't lie, this is really...
Well, we've got to pick up any Batman number ones that come out because you knew that Batman number one New 52 was selling for like $100.
Oh, I believe it.
It's ridiculous.
Then I'm going to go buy some Marvel. You guys can buy all the DC you want.
Well, I'm buying the Batman for an investment. I'm not even going to...
It's all about the money, man.
I'll sell it in 5 years.
Look, I got to put my kids through college.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or I've got to sell them and buy superhero stuff to become heroes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Okay, the bad.
Yeah, hey, bad. Bad, honestly, okay.
I've only got one, but go ahead.
Bad for me is literally, it was way too short. Seriously, I could have dealt with a year or two of this.
Right.
I mean, that's really the bad I can find. I hate to, that feels like a cop-out. And there's a lot of bad. I mean, there's like, oh, Superman wouldn't have done that, or Batman. But really, I feel this is such a different take on so many of these characters that we only do little one-offs of. And I'm okay with like a little one-off like Superman Red Son, because it's a weird, silly story. This is like literally such a dynamic.
Superman Red Son's longer story than this.
Are you f***ing me?
Beep.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's cool.
Are you?
No, it's a long
with me.
This page is 22 pages times 3, so 60-ish pages. I think Red Sun's probably more than that.
Then I feel ripped off. I feel like this the all the characters, Batman, Flash, Superman, Aquaman, got such revitalizing storytelling, like, hey, here's what could have happened. And I really was angry how short it was, and I wanted more of it.
That's pretty much every event anymore. They do like little tie-ins like this to tell you about, you know, side stories from that event.
Well, I mean, New 52 I was excited about because of this event, and it just fell flat. Like, this kind of made New 52 suck for me. You know? That's my bad.
I don't think you read enough of New 52.
And that may be it. I love the costume of Superman.
Because
I love
you definitely didn't do the ride of Action Comics 1 through 18 with Grant Morrison.
No, I didn't, and I should have.
And it was so good, especially listening to a New 52 Adventures of Superman podcast, where they caught everything I missed and just gave so much depth and bread to the story.
But that's great. I'm looking at all this imagery, and I'm like, this. I could have gone on and on with that. Yeah. And I literally feel like I got tricked into buying New 52 after this. I mean, that's really how I feel. I'm like, ugh.
Well, you knew it was a new universe.
I knew, but if this was so...
Should have gone back to X-Men. You would have regretted that.
I know. But this was... Well, you know, at least Wolverine's tale was conclusive and sad. And it gave us Old Man Logan. So what did we get out of this? No, I mean, this was good. It really was good. And I'm having a hard time finding something I didn't like about it.
Okay, here's some bad for you.
Yeah, give me some bad.
And like I said, I like this story. So when I say bad and ugly, I'm reaching for things.
Yeah.
But Doomsday's been locked up for 40 years in this place under Metropolis. Really?
Well, this is also Doomsday that has theoretically never fought Superman.
But it doesn't. Every time he's fought anything, he's come back evolved better than whatever killed him.
Yeah, but he's never fought Superman. They didn't kill him. They just locked him away.
But he's just asleep.
Yeah.
And the only scene we see him, he's just asleep.
Yeah. Because he's never fought Superman.
Because he's never fought Superman. He's fought superheroes that were super powerful before.
Fractionally stronger than he is now.
He's fought people that were Superman of their worlds and killed them.
But who else compares to Superman, really?
Doomsday.
Exactly. Who else besides Doomsday? Basically, Doomsday was like
Darkseid.
Well, he never fought Darkseid, but it's like Doomsday was like me and you to anybody else.
Because
until he fought Superman.
Because we're so awesome.
Because we're so awesome. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is he never saw anyone even fractionally as good as Superman.
But why was he just asleep? At the beginning of The Death and Return of Superman, he's in that metal cage planted under the earth, which is great. I love the mysterious storytelling. But he's not just asleep. He's in there punching away, trying to get out. Why is he just asleep in this place? And like I said, I'm reaching for bad. And
no,
I'm trying to make bad happen. And I'll accept that this happened, but I don't have to believe that should have happened. It's for the storytelling, I understand. And that's a problem with Doomsday, is he gets overused for storytelling bits whenever he's supposed to be just some super, just destructive, you can't stop him, nothing can stop him, force of nature type of character. So.
Fair enough. And you know, looking through all this, you want to know what my uglies is?
What's that?
They were so totally ripping off Super Saiyans.
Is that... Okay, Super
That's,
Saiyan,
no,
fill
seriously.
Me in on that. What is that?
Are you a Dragon Ball Z fan at all?
I know who Goku is. That's all.
Okay, when
I don't know what Super Saiyan is.
When Goku gets really strong, he's an alien from another planet who crashes on Earth, gets raised by a nice old man who trains him to be a protector of Earth.
And you're saying that Superman's ripping him off?
No. I'm just saying...
Okay.
No, I know, right? Bear all that in mind. If you ever look up a picture, like Google real quick if you would, a picture of Goku, G-O-K-U, Super Saiyan, which is super, S-A...
I did autocorrect. Our autofilling hooked me up. I'm good. He's got blonde hair. Big difference.
Yeah, So do you see Lieutenant Sinclair and Goku and maybe how they might look a little bit alike?
Okay. While we're there, not only do I see that, that's right. He's
Yeah, I know, right?
He looks animated the entire
time. Of course he does. Yeah.
But he also looks like somebody else we've seen recently, which I didn't write down, and I'm glad you brought this up. Ulysses.
Blanka from Street Fighter?
Blanka. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like Ulysses from the Superman story. What was it? Not Superman. I forget what it was. It was the one I covered in this podcast.
Dang it. I don't remember now.
Men of Tomorrow. That's it. The Men of Tomorrow, the blonde guy who has the energy powers from the other dimension. Ulysses.
Oh, gosh.
And you said you listened to the show.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm just playing with you. I'm just playing with you.
Oh, no. I listened to some of the show. Hold on, Ulysses. Not Ulysses Grant, Superman.
Not the Odyssey and the Iliad.
Not the racist general. Sorry. That was just too easy.
Name somebody who wasn't racist in 1860.
Okay, now I see him. He's long-haired, blonde Superman.
Or Subject Zero, or Goku, energy guy.
Oh, dang it. There's so much New 52 I have to read now.
You don't have to read that.
No, you pretty much maybe. I've already got to read Hell-El, or Hell, or whatever his name is.
Well, no, you don't.
Did you not like that?
I mean, I liked it when it was happening, but there's good stuff out there, and you don't have to read that.
No, I
read that, and I was like listening along with that podcast, right? And finally, I got all the Hell, H-apostrophe-E-L.
Hell.
And I get
it's
to
like
the...
Cthulhu. Like,
I get, I'm waiting to see the big end, and there isn't. It just drops off. I'm just going to tell you right now, don't waste your time on it. There's no end. It builds up all this cool stuff. And then nothing happens. He comes back later at some point, but I was just done with it at that point. Okay, so moving
on. Who is he?
I don't remember. I mean, I think he was from Krypton, but he wasn't like a Kryptonian from what I can remember. I don't remember enough about it, and it wasn't memorable. If you want to read a good story about a Krypton showing up, read Last Sun. It's before Flashpoint. I've got it in my comic account.
I'll try that next. But I mean,
that's a good story about a Kryptonian boy showing up and Superman adopting him.
Oh, no. It doesn't turn out like him and Jimmy, does it?
Him and Jimmy?
Well, you know when Jimmy was adopted by Superman?
Oh, no.
I mean, that was really bad, dude.
That was funny. He's referring to a cracked article. Where they're
it's
talking
not a
about
cracked
the
article,
times
it's an actual Superman.
That covers the times Superman and Batman were jerks.
Every time I say something, it's got to be cracked, huh?
No, you said a bunch of things this evening, and I haven't brought them back to crack.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so the ugly. I've already mentioned Gene Ha draws people with their mouths open on covers. Like I said, I'm reaching for things. I love the covers. And I liked it the first time I saw it, but the more I saw it and the more I saw more of his stuff, everybody's got their mouth open in the same pose. Everybody's mouth bends the same way. But I'm stretching, whatever. And what we talked about before, the ugly. And let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Superman killing. While I don't disagree with it here, and I'm not even sure that he did kill him on purpose, I never like it in any situation. I may see it as necessary in some situations and maybe even mandatory, a thing he has to do in extreme situations, but I've never liked it. I've never been like, yeah, Superman, you know, kill that guy, or I'm glad he killed him. It always hurts me for the character, but I think it's powerful for storytelling as well. You know what I mean?
They do it a lot. I mean, come on, man.
By they do it a lot, they've done it a few times over 75 plus years.
Sorry. I feel it's a lot for Superman. Because every time they do it, they make such a huge deal about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, go on. Like Batman accidentally kills all the time. Like, we don't even pay attention. He's like, well, that guy had thrown off a building. I'm sure he's dead. Batman never goes back and checks. Dude's dead. But, like, Superman,
no,
they make a specific
Batman
point.
In the movies, he did that with, you know, Ra's al Ghul. But normally
and
they show whenever he knocks people off. No, he saved Joker.
No, we're talking Joker from Batman 1985? 88? When was that?
You're talking about Dark Knight Returns?
No, I'm talking about, like, Jack Nicholson's Joker.
Yeah, you're talking about on-screen Batman.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm going to wrap this stone gargoyle around your leg to make sure you don't make it off that helicopter alive.
Right, but that's not, I'm talking about comic Batman, like, whenever he knocks somebody off a building and they normally go out of the way to show that he batarangs a rope to save them, and then he goes and breaks their arm or something.
He didn't make sure that they can't make a living doing anything but crime ever again. Like, yeah, I saved your life, dude, but you may as well just...
You owe me.
Yeah, I mean,
Batman's... Why do I owe you? Because I'm Batman.
Because I'm Batman.
But no, he doesn't... I wouldn't
no,
say...
No, I agree. Superman is supposed to be... And I joke about it all the time because I don't want that. But Superman is supposed to be the ideal of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when he kills, it's tarnishing that. I'll give you that. Yeah. It really is.
And I wouldn't say it's tarnishing it. It doesn't sit well with me. Like, you know, in Man of Steel, I found it necessary. And their framing of the situation wasn't perfect, but... There was no stopping Zod. Zod died or all of Earth died. There was no containing him.
Honestly, it wasn't about that. It was really like, in all honesty, had he taken time, he could have stopped Zod and sent him somewhere else.
Where?
Here's two arguments. One, the Dark Zone, would it be better to be killed?
Phantom Zone was already used. The ship had the Phantom Zone thing in it, and it was gone. There was no going to the Phantom Zone.
I would rather be killed than be sent to the Phantom Zone. The Phantom Zone sounds terrible. Let's be honest. Like, hey, I could either kill you, or I could see you in this place where you're going to be constantly sick to your stomach and in pain. Like, oh, wait, well, just kill me.
Hell Zone.
Yeah, like the Phantom Zone sounds terrible. But two, he didn't have time to really... It wasn't about humanity or Earth. He wasn't trying to stop Zod to save Earth. He was really like, right now, right at this moment, he's going to kill that man and his kids. Like, there wasn't a... Zod was trying to argue, like, I'll kill everybody, I'll kill them all. But literally, he didn't kill Zod to save Earth. He killed Zod to save that family, which is kind of what Superman is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt that was, if anything, it showed that he was willing to sacrifice his own values to save that man and his family. You know what I mean? Like, it was... you could argue, oh, yeah, Zod would never have stopped, and he saved Earth by doing that. Like, no. He decided that at that one moment, it was better to save that family than to argue with his own internal logic.
Right.
You know?
And
which is very much Superman.
No, look,
a moment of himself.
What I'm saying is, I'm saying that I agree with you on him saving that family, but I think it was a poor frame up of the situation that we had. And the thing is, there was no stopping him. I've listened to people talk about it. I've thought about it myself. There was no Phantom Zone. There was nothing to contain him. He was bent on destroying it.
And in all honesty, literally that was the one chance he had because Zod not only was as strong as he was, Zod was a trained killer.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's kind of like right now me and you going head against each other are just two nerds fighting. Like, we're just like, hey, let's fight each other. We're nerds. We're both military trained. We both have had plenty of time in military situations. We're both just two nerds fighting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can agree with that.
I mean, both, I guess compared to Superman, but
I mean, I'm saying is we're both relatively strong. We're both relatively in good shape. We've had
good looking. Different.
Well, I'm better looking. I was in the Army, but I mean, you're taller, so that gives you a little bit of an advantage. that's like the only balance, advantage you have. Though. No, what I'm saying is me and you fighting would be okay, but if you were to take like a Navy SEAL and throw him in the mix, it doesn't matter if we're both in good shape. That Navy SEAL is probably going to kill us, right? That was Zod. Zod was the Navy SEAL versus Superman's farm boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Superman had one chance.
Maybe Chris Kyle.
But no, what I'm saying is...
In his prime.
In his prime. No, Superman had one chance. Indeed. He was basically fighting a Navy SEAL. He got into one situation where he lucked into it, where he was able to stop that Navy SEAL.
Yeah. We 100% agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Superman could not have stopped him any other time. Had he let him go, he could have basically just, you know...
If you let him go, he was killing maybe another 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Before he got another chance.
So I totally agree with that. But at the same time, not only was that the situation, but he literally was saving one family.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of like, you can't fault
this him. To say, if he purposely killed in this position, I think it's ugly, but it was necessary. And especially he was saving Lois, he was saving, you know, anybody, because this dude was going to, cause, like Zod, was off to kill metahumans and then stop where, because he was just going to rationalize everybody else's not liking him or being against him, so.
Oh yeah, Zod was totally going to...
No, I'm talking about Sinclair here.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, yeah. Dude, no, Sinclair, man. He hurts me, man. He's not Zod.
So you're saying he shouldn't have killed him? If he did.
No, I'm saying Sinclair had more hope for redemption than Zod. I'm not saying he shouldn't have killed him. I'm just saying Sinclair... Sinclair literally, it's like as if you all of a sudden elevated yourself from ant to human to God. And Sinclair just, I don't think anybody can handle that. I think the real enemy, the real, evil person was the people who gave him that power. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I literally, that's kind of how
I think they had evil motivations that not just
I think they just didn't think about the consequences of giving someone that kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said before. Like if democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's good for dinner, what they did to Sinclair is they just went, we're 100 sheep, and they gave him the power of a wolf, and then they didn't know what to do with them. Like, it was unfair to give something that much power.
Yeah, he's got a tragic angle to his story.
Oh, I think it's terribly tragic. Because you can't make something that strong and then expect it to be that good and then be like, we're going to get rid of you. I mean, Sinclair was tragic. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Sinclair was the prime example of someone trying to do good and being overwhelmed by it. He wanted to be Superman... and couldn't take that power.
Yeah.
Whereas Superman doesn't want to be Superman, so therefore he's worthy of that power.
Okay.
He's the opposite.
All right, so going to move on to the great, unless you have some ugly.
No. Go on to the great.
All right, in the great, the style. The style and the layouts were awesome. They reminded me of what we're seeing right now in... Logan, Old Man Logan.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, theirs is a little more stylized in a different way, but just the way that the frames are made and they're dynamic and they're a lot of fun to look at.
No, the great for me was literally the style they put into Superman himself. Like, Subject 1 was amazing.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that.
No, I love the fact that he was skinny and he had a haunted look to him. He still looked like Kal-El. He looked like Clark, but he looked so gaunt and so sad and so weak. But yet there was such a power behind it all. Like It was ugly, but it was, God, it was gorgeous. Like, the way they did it just amazed me.
Right.
That was something I would have never imagined in a million years Superman to be like. And that was, like, I perfectly understood it. I went, yep, that could happen.
Yeah. I mean, imagining him being just completely, never have seen the sun his entire life, seeing the skinny dude and the way that, you know, Flash and team found him.
Like, it was great. It was very haunting, and I cannot get over how much I liked it. Like, I'm still behind the fact that, and I know I've said this a million times throughout this podcast, I really, really want a long arc with that Superman.
Yeah, where he's the hero.
I want to be the hero or the anti-hero or something. I just want that sad, sunken, weak Superman to regain something.
Yeah. You know? Well, he, I don't know what I was going to say there. Okay, so what else has me excited? Man, those X-ray scenes. I already said it in good, but it's so good. It's great. I mean, it was in all the books. It had.
You're making me think of Sinclair too much, so just, yeah.
And the blur in the art, I think it has to be computer-aided. Back then, when I read it, I was like, how are they doing this with the pencils? They've got blur added to so many different frames. Like, they took the blur tool and just blurred things, but it looks great, and it adds to how fast it looks like that Sinclair's hand's punching through somebody's head or slicing through it. And Cal's love of Lois, while maybe a little rushed, maybe a little unearned, you could say, I still really liked it.
It felt a little, I loved it, but it did feel a little bit,
it was the one peer he'd ever met. And they might not have even been a romantic love. You know?
I feel like they could have used Lana instead of Lois. Lana Lang would have been a good choice.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree that that character would have been could have been a good choice too, but her dad being General Lane just played into it. I mean, it just fit.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. I just I don't know. It was all good, and man.
What's your background with Lana? Like, where do you know Lana from?
Superman, was it 4 or 2?
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I really like Lana from the post-crisis. It's a kind of a sad figure.
And dude, oh god, you haven't read all of, New 52, 51, have you?
Superman 51?
Yeah.
No, I'm not done with that.
God, Lana and that, oof, I'm crushing on her.
Bad. I've seen a little spoiler about it, but yeah.
Oh, I'm crushing on her.
In New 52, she's good.
Oh God, she's, yeah. I've got a little crush on her, so.
No, that's not hard.
And I wouldn't have minded something besides Lois, because I feel Lois is such a, like, I feel like she's a cheat as far as integral to Superman's story.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying she's a cheat, but it's like, oh, come on, there's somebody else that means.
Well, I mean, if this was a Scott Summers story, would it be his high school girlfriend or would it be Jean Grey?
Ah, dang it, man.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to say here. Like, think about it. Like, when you're telling a three-part story, you have to have the most, you know, tied to that characters show up. Like, Jimmy doesn't even show up in this. You know, and they always try to include Jimmy and Perry White in stories like this, but of course, Jimmy and Perry White probably, well, Perry White probably died in that Daily Planet collapse.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's does that make sense?
No, I'm with you. I don't know. Just wouldn't have minded more of a different take on
it. And plus, Lois was going to be out there with the Resistance in Flashpoint like she was, and doing things to try to, you know, make things better.
Crap. Hold on.
Okay.
I've got a wife at the door.
Good.
Stand by.
So we're pretty much done. Mixed
oh,
by
yeah,
done.
I know we're done.
But so, all in all, I liked this when I read it. I grew to not enjoy what I remembered of it as much. But after rereading it, I'm blown away by how good it was.
Oh, it was amazing. That was the literally still to this day some of my favorite DC storytelling.
Right. Well, Ash, quickly, I know you probably got to go. You got family home now. I'm really glad that you took time to record with me.
Ah, good. We'll do more. We still down for B versus S tomorrow?
Yep, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
Yep.
Gonna go see it for a second time? I'm excited.
Oh. Well, I'm curious to see if I'll like it, so we'll have to do another podcast for that.
Okay. I'd be down.
All right, man.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to Mick's Super Comics Cast. If you would like to send feedback to the show, you can email me at mickginger0@gmail.com, and I'll read your mail on the show in the feedback section. You can find the show on Facebook, just search for Mick's Comic Cast, or click the link in the show notes. Special thanks to Kevin MacLeod for allowing the show to use his song, Our Story Begins. This has been a Mick Red Network production. Find this show and many others at mickred.com.